When I recycle something, I'm saying that I can get more uses out of this. And so even though I was afflicted, the Bible says it was good for me to be afflicted. Even though I'm going through it and being persecuted, the Bible says Job decided to recycle his history. And he said, God knows the way that I take. And when I am tried, I shall come forth like gold. God is going to get some glory out of this. And I am going to learn how to use parts of my history so that my destiny can continue to unfold. You have to learn what to recycle and what to release. The last thing you ought to release is your confidence. The Bible says, cast not away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. So when you're in a downturn, whether it is economic downturn, whether it is spiritual downturn, whether it is a social downturn, regardless of what the downturn looks like and what strata it's in your life, wherever you are in a downturn, you ought to look at parts of the history of what's going on in your life and say, how can I use aspects of this to teach me a lesson? How can I use aspects of this to show me where I need to grow and where I need to develop? How can I use this to be better? And when you decide to do that, you learn that you never release your confidence, but you do let go of your expectations. Oh, come on, I'm talking good right now. Whenever you're in a downturn, the downturn comes so that you learn how to let go of your expectations, but you got to keep your confidence. The reason you can let go of your expectations is because the Bible says our expectations come from the Lord. So sometimes we have an expectation of things that ain't never designed to happen in your life. And when seemingly negative things take place and you experience those sort of downturns, so you go from the pit and then you go to Potiphar's house, and in Potiphar's house, it's okay. Potiphar's house is dangerous because Potiphar's house is where you could lose your confidence. It's where everything that you worked towards, everything you endured, and everything that you went through is about to collide with your confidence. Do you believe that you are who God says you are? This is where you can be comfortable. This is where you can rest. And Joseph was about to rest in this comfortable place. He was about to rest in a very convenient place. God is not really recognized in our comfort zones. Ooh, Lord have mercy. God is not recognized in our comfort zones because God is never really recognized. He can only be revealed. And sometimes in the revealing, he shows up in ways that we're not ready for. Lord have mercy. So the vehicle to getting me to my upside is all of this downturn. The pathway to getting me to my dream is to be abandoned by my family and misunderstood and sold into slavery. God, where are you in all of this downturn? Why am I going through all of this? And when you don't see God in any of it, you hold on to the wrong stuff. You start recycling the hurt and the pain instead of releasing that part and recycling the things that are going to help you in the future. Ugh. Holding on to something for too long. Ugh. Having an attachment to something that is obsolete. Ugh. Clutters your life. Have you ever held on to something for too long? And then when you moved, think about an appliance in your kitchen, some outdated toaster. When you've got your first apartment and you went to the dollar store and you bought the toaster that was white, you know what I'm talking about, because everything in the dollar store is all white. And you go in there and you buy the toaster or you buy the blender and it worked for you in your 20s. But then when you got the house and you got the nice place and your countertops were granite and it looked a little better, and you brought something that was outdated and old that didn't quite fit into the new space. Holding on to stuff that is obsolete never fits into your future. And when you bring it into the new space, it looks out of place. Lord have mercy. It might work. Oh, y'all don't want to talk back to me. It might work. It might still get the job done. But every time it's there, it looks out of place because it doesn't fit your future. Just because it still works doesn't mean it fits your future. And so you start bringing, stashing stuff, emotional trash, Lord have mercy, into your future. Stuff, events that happened 10 years ago. Come on, I'm talking to somebody. And you start stashing it in your emotions and stashing it in your psyche. And you're not repurposing it in any way, but you're rehearsing it every day in your life. And instead of learning from the painful experience and moving on from it, you keep bringing it up and bringing it up and bringing it up and superimposing it on your future experience. Therefore, you never step into the upside. You never step into what God has for your life because you stay in your own Potiphar's house. Because you're coddled there. You're celebrated there. You're awarded there. But Potiphar's house is just a transition. The pit was just the start of the process. Oh God, I'm preaching right now. Ah, God. The pit was just the process. Potiphar's house is just the transition. Oh God, stay with me, stay with me. It's just the transition. It is the place where recycle becomes renewal, and every dream that was on the inside of you starts being renewed. It is the place where you have to be misunderstood and where your spirit and your soul has to be jolted so that you don't stay in this comfortable place. Because if you remain in this comfortable place, you can't step into what God has for your life. So you got to get comfortable with letting go. You gotta get comfortable with letting go of the stuff you wanna stash, the stuff you wanna hold on to. You gotta get comfortable with your situation to the point where you realize it's just a transition. It's not permanent. It's not where God wants me to be. This is not what God showed me in my dream. And I believe my dream is still alive. I believe I can still do it. I believe I can still become what God has called me to be. I believe with all of my heart and all of my being, I believe with everything that I have that God can still get me there. Your situation is not causing you to suffer. The reason that you're suffering is because you're trying to control your situation. See, control is what's keeping you where you are. Control. Control is tossing your keys to your future to your ego. But your ego can't drive. Control keeps you in the comfortable place. Keeps you in the place where you believe you can just live here. You can just make it. It's going to be okay. And so you buy into the comfort and the security of your comfort zone without realizing the limitations it imposes on you. And you don't realize that the box that you designed for yourself, where you just keep holding on to all of the junk that happened to you, is too small for the world that God wants you to have. Potiphar's house is too small for you. The pit is too small for you. And the prison is also too small for you. And stop believing that you were put there to live there. You were put there to grow there. You weren't put there so that becomes your destination. You were put there so that you will understand that the pit was just a part of the process. Oh, Lord have mercy. That when you find yourself in your pits of life, that that's just the processing that you need so that you can get your destiny legs. So that you can understand where you started is not where you're going to end up. So that you can realize everybody that you thought that you were going to have to count on are not the people that you need to be counting on. And so you begin to rebalance and to reassess everything that you thought was going to happen. And your preferences begin to be torn down. And it's the beginning of you letting go of all of your expectations of how you think it ought to go. Because it doesn't have to go the way you think for it to become what God said it's going to be. It doesn't have to be your preference for it to show up as God's purpose. And so the pit is just part of the process. I got to get us to our text. The pit is just part of the process. It's where you begin to get your destiny legs. It's where you begin to see the bigger picture. It's where you begin to realize the larger context. It's where you begin to discover your assignment. Potiphar's house is just the transition. It is where you switch gears. It's where you enter into the growth periods of your life. It's where you step into the unfolding of destiny's fulfillment. It's where you start to realize, Lord have mercy, that it looks like a huge downturn. It looks like a huge setback. It looks like a big leap backward. It looks like that you're never going to make it to your dream. And it looks like everything is falling apart again, but it's just a growth season. It is the season where you let go of your guilt and you embrace your growth. It is the season where you stop blaming yourself and you stop blaming all of the people that did stuff to you. It is the season where you still believe that you are who God says you are. That's the transitional phase. And it's always messy. And it's always dark. It's always ugly. But that's the phase that gets you to maturity. And when you get to the place of maturity, not only do you start threading together everything in your history, but this is when everything in your destiny starts fitting in with everything in your history. This is where we find ourselves in the text. Lord have mercy. This is where we find ourselves in the text. Because in the place of maturity, I don't have time. Maybe I'll drill down and on it later or something tonight and go live or something. I don't know. But within the text, we see that Joseph is now at that place of maturity. The reason we know he's at that place of maturity, he's stepped into it all. He's embraced the growth. He's embraced the transition. He's embraced the process. And the reason we know that he's in that place of maturity is because he understands now why he is where he is. He understands why he's in prison. Oh, it's becoming clear to him why he's down there. So the Bible tells us that while he's in prison, he becomes the servant to the captain of the guard. His gift flourishes wherever he is. That's how we know he's releasing things while recycling parts of his history to use it for his future benefit, because his gift is still operating. God gives the gifts without repentance, so it's always going to operate, but he's still elevating while his gift is operating. He's deciding that he's always going to seek the upside instead of always recording the downturns. And so now he's the servant of the captain of the guard, meaning he's running the prison. And while he's in the prison, the baker, and the cupbearer of the king are down there with him. Doesn't really matter why, but they're in there. And while they're in there, they're having dreams. And Joseph, out of compassion of hearing the torment of the two people's dreams, decides to interpret their dreams to tell them their future. And one of them future was bleak and the other person's future was bright. And so the bright person's future got out and got back into position as Joseph declared. And Joseph said to him, remember me when you go before the king. Tell Pharaoh about me. But the Bible lets us know that he did not remember him. He did not recall him. He did not record everything he did for him. And so 2 years passed by. And here's where we enter into the text. Lord, have mercy. It is the moment where Joseph takes his maturity and he gets ready for this moment, because he understands that small beginnings, small opportunities are often the beginnings of great enterprises. He understands that you can't despise the day of small beginnings, because something small is always the beginning of something huge. When God decided to populate the earth with humanity, he made one man, not 100. He started with something small. He always starts with a seed. And you can't abandon your future when your future starts in seed form. You have to understand it has to go through a process. And then it has to go through a transition. And then it has to go through growth. And then it has to get to maturation. And when it gets to maturation, that's when you can shout, it's my moment. And I don't care where you are in your life right now. You might be in the process, right in the middle where things look like they're falling apart. You might be in the transition where you're moving from one place to the next. You might be in the growth period where it's uncomfortable and it's constricting and confining, because you're developing in a space that's too small to hold you and you're just about to break out. Or you might be in the maturation phase and development of your dream and your life and your future. Regardless of where you are, you have to understand that the process has already begun for you to have your moment. And you ought to shout right where you are, I'm about to step into my moment. I don't care what it looks like. You ought to declare prophetically, I'm about to step into my moment. The moment that God destined for my life. The moment that God built me for. The moment that God raised me up. The moment that God kept me for. I've been through all that I've been through, not just to say I've been through it, so that I can step into my moment is why I went through all I went through. I understand why I'm here. And Joseph understands why he's here. And this is the defining moment of his life. And as Pharaoh's cupbearer goes to mention to Pharaoh, I know a guy. 2 years later, and Pharaoh's deeply troubled by this dream. And the cupbearer says, I know a guy. Lord have mercy. Because, as I said before, I ain't got time to drill onto it. Everything that happens within the context of your history and your destiny happens within the confines of your relationships. And so it was Joseph in prison that didn't let all of his history stop him from having good relationships. Lord have mercy. And it was through the conduit of his relationships that when Pharaoh had his troubling dream, the cupbearer said, I know a guy. Lord have mercy. 2 years have went by. I've been in this situation for 13 years, and I thought I was just about to get out. 2 years later, I know a guy. And he says to Pharaoh, I know a guy. And so the Bible says that all the magicians and all the seers couldn't see what Pharaoh's dream meant. History tells us that the soothsayers and the sages of that time, which they called magicians, the wise men, kept a record of dreams. And they would put pictures in this book called the Dream Book. And they would go back to the pictures to try to record the dreams so that they can tell the kings, the pharaohs, what the dreams meant. And it looked like they had power to interpret the future. But it was just, watch me now, the recycling of old dreams. Oh, Lord, have mercy. And now nobody can decipher the dream that Pharaoh has, because it is not the recycling, it is the releasing of. And so Joseph is stepping into the releasing of his future, and he's stepping into it because he was able to recycle parts of his history to benefit his future. And as that begins to happen, the Bible records that Joseph does not know his defining moment has arrived. That means his moment shows up before his knowledge. God, I'm preaching to you right now. The moment is already out there. The person is already talking about you. The individual that's about to get you into your upside is already letting people know who you are. You don't know that because you're still in the situation that you're in. You're still in the process. You're still in the transition. You're still in the growth. You're still maturing. You're still down there while they're talking about you. You're still in your downturn while they're bringing you to your upside. He doesn't know that his moment is here. He doesn't know, but he knows that the roots of his upside has already begun to break ground. He does understand that. Because the dream that has been incubating in his heart since he was young is about to be fulfilled. And so he knows that everything that's in him is about to be unlocked. And he realizes that this is my moment. Because when they come down to let him know, Lord have mercy, that Pharaoh wants to see you, he doesn't know what it's about. They don't come down and say to Joseph, Pharaoh has this dream, you got to come and interpret it. They just come down to get him and say, Pharaoh wants to see you. And the Bible says that Pharaoh shaved. Oh, Lord have mercy. He shaved himself. He shaved himself. Oh, Lord have mercy. He shaved himself. He changed his raiment and he came in unto Pharaoh. He shaved himself. He changed his clothes and he came in unto Pharaoh. Joseph has enough understanding of his destiny to let go of his history. He doesn't show up with Pharaoh looking like he went through what he'd been through. You can't show up in your moment looking like your history. You got to show up in your moment looking like your destiny. Oh, Lord have mercy. He shaved himself. He changed his clothes. I can only imagine him looking at somebody saying, give me some fresh clothes. Let me take a hot shower. Let me get ready to present myself because I'm not what I've been through. I'm more than that. And you ought to shout where you are. I am not what I've been through. I've been through it, but that's not who I am. I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Yeah, I went through the valley of the shadow of death, but baby, I don't look like death. I look like life. And I'm going to step into my moment looking like life. I'm going to shave myself. I'm going to cut off my history. I'm going to put on the garment of praise and I'm going to take off the spirit of heaviness and I'm going to step into my moment knowing I got a future. Knowing that everything that has unfolded in my life has brought me to this moment. And the Bible says he steps into Pharaoh's world. And there's a silence in the text that we don't see. Joseph's thoughts are not recorded, but his performance is. Lord have mercy. He steps into Pharaoh's court with a flourishing mindset. He steps into Pharaoh's court after enduring the worst circumstances of his life. He steps into it as a man that is prepared for this moment. And Pharaoh says to him, I had a dream. Stay with me. And as he records the dream to Joseph, Joseph's first response is to give God credit. The first response you got to have in your moment after you go through the process, after you go through the transition, after you go through the growth, after you go through the maturation, is to give God credit. Lord have mercy. See, when you hold on to your confidence and let go of your expectations, it ain't gotta be you that gets the glory. And he says to Pharaoh, as Pharaoh says to him, they tell me you can interpret a dream. And Joseph records, it is not me that can interpret a dream, but God has the answer. I asked you a question when we first started out. I asked you, do you think you can flourish during this time? And I'm here to tell you, God has the answer. God can cause you to flourish and not to languish. He can cause you to experience an upside in this downturn. You just got to believe there is an upside. Because when you get to the upside, your entire position is about to change. And your position is not just going to be based on your history, but based on your destiny. And it is in this moment, as Joseph determines the dream, he determines the dream of what Pharaoh's having, and he's saying, Pharaoh, you're about to experience an upside, but after the upside, there's going to be a downturn, and I got to get you ready for the downturn. And the only reason I can get you ready for the downturn is because I have a personal history with the downturn myself. So maturation, wisdom, and growth, and going through the transition and the process has taught me that you can store up for the downturn that's coming, so that when it's happened, you're ready and you can help other people through the downturn. But after the downturn is over, there's going to come another upside, because after every downturn, there's always an upside. You ought to shout, I'm getting ready for the upside, because after I come through this downturn, my position is about to change, my seat is about to change, my destiny is about to be embraced, and I'm about to help a lot of people. Because that's exactly what Joseph does. His whole position changes. And he leaps forward. Somebody shout, leap forward. He leaps forward into his future. You're about to leap forward into your future. He leaps forward into your future and leaves prison and becomes the second in command in the palace. There's about to be an acceleration. Lord have mercy, if I had time, I'll drill down on it. There's about to be an acceleration. I pray you hear me prophetically right now. There's about to be an acceleration in your position. And I know it doesn't look like it. I know it doesn't feel like it. I know all of the details of the moment of this present time is telling you that it ain't gonna happen. There's about to be an acceleration. There's about to be a moment in your life that shifts everything. But you got to hold on to what God told you. You got to believe in the dark what God told you in the light. And when you go through that dark season, when you go through all of that processing, when you go through all of that transition, and you grow and you mature, which are the benefits of going through, get ready for the acceleration. It's like a rocket, an explosion, a takeoff, a leap forward into your future. And if you're not ready for it, you'll press back against the acceleration. And you say, we're going too fast. I can't go. I can't do it. I can't move. Joseph didn't ask for the position. It was given to him. Pharaoh said, where can I find somebody that can help me get sort through this thing? What do we do with the 7 coming years of famine? Because that's what Pharaoh's dream was about. Famine's coming. But before famine comes, there's going to be a season of harvest, then famine, then harvest, then famine, then harvest. This is the cycle that history tells us. History is proof that after every downturn, there's an upside. So within the downturn, you have to start looking for the upsides and position yourself for the upside. Get into position. Get into position. If we were in church right now, I say, touch somebody, give them a high five. You can't do it. Give them an air high five. Do whatever you want to do and say, get into position, get into position, get into position in your spirit, get into position in your heart, get into position in your mind, get into position. Get ready for it, because here comes the upside. Here comes the upside. And as Joseph gets himself into position by shaving himself, changing his clothes, and presenting himself before Pharaoh, he said, I'm not going into this palace looking like what I went through. I'm going into this palace looking like I know who I am. And he goes in and gives God glory, interprets the dream, and Pharaoh says, who can we find that can help us through this? I can't think of anybody wiser that we can put in the position to help see us through it. And he promotes him that day. Get into position for the promotion that's about to come into your life, because it's here. And I came to tell somebody, it is my only assignment today. If you heard nothing I said, if I didn't say nothing good, hear this. There's an upside to your downturn. And when the upside comes, it accelerates your life so fast that you got to position yourself spiritually. You got to position yourself mentally. You got to position yourself in your relationships. And the only thing you got to fear is fear itself. Fear. That undescribed, unreasonable, terrorizing thought of a future that doesn't look bright. You don't have to fear fear, because it's the only thing that can stop you from getting into position. But I'm afraid, Pastor. Maybe you got to do it scared. You got to step right in front of it, knowing that the fear is present, but so is my faith. So fear is in the back seat of the car, but faith is driving this sucker. My ego might be in the back seat too, and my ego and fear back there, and like a good parent, y'all better shut up back there. And while they're asking, are we there yet, you just keep on driving. They're going to be in the car. They're going to be around. They're going to try to talk you out of going in the direction you're going, but let faith drive. Let faith drive. Let faith drive. Fear going to say, don't go down that road. Your ego going to say, I can get there faster. But faith going to say, he knows the way that I take. And when I try, I'm tried, I shall come forth like gold. When we get there, it's going to look good. When we get there, I'm not going to look like I went through what I went through. And I'm going to be in a better position to help a lot of people, because that's what the upside is about. Catapulting your life to be in a position to help somebody else. Get ready for the upside to your downturn. I pray this message touched you at your core. I pray it jolted you. I pray that you can look over the history of your life, where you were raised, who your parents were, how your identity was formed, where you lived, all your life experiences. And I pray that you can begin to connect the dots to see that your history is only in place so that your destiny can be revealed, because destiny unfolds. Do you understand? It unfolds. And it unfolds within your history. So each moment of your life, each day you live, what God has for your life, and I'm using the term destiny here, what God has for your life unfolds. And if you start believing that the negative experience in your history determines your future, then you will never make a decision to embrace the future that God has for your life. And so at every turn, off ramp and on ramps of where you're headed, because it's never the highway version. There are detours, there are road closures, there are roadblocks, there are hazards. And as you try to navigate your way back on to the highway of your future, of your life, of your dream, of your hopes, of the plans God has for you. Sometimes it's hard to get back on that road. And so you choose alternate paths But God is so awesome, Lord have mercy, that even in our choosing of the alternate paths, he still makes ways of escape for us to get back to where he is. And this message is all about that, getting back to where he is. The fact of the matter is that God was with Joseph everywhere he went. He was with him in the pit. He was with him at Potiphar's house. He was with him in the palace. And his whole history informed his destiny. But when his destiny moment came, when the dream he had as a teenager unfolds as an adult, he stands there, not looking like his history, but looking like his destiny. And I encourage you today to choose to look like your destiny, not so much your history. Your history is going to be there. It's going to be a part of you. It always is. But you don't have to dress up in it every day. You don't have to wear it around every day and every moment of your life. It's just there to inform you, to help you understand. Weeping endures for a night, but joy always comes in the morning. The cycles of life, the patterns of history. We've been here before. And for every downturn, there's always a boom. So get ready for the boom. That's what I'm trying to tell you. You got to get ready for the boom. I know you're just trying to make it, and you're going to make it. I know you're just trying to survive. There's a time frame for that. But after you look back over your history and say, okay, I made it. I survived. Now I got to flourish. Now I got to thrive. And I'm praying for you that you can see it that way. That you don't have to live in survival mode. That you can thrive. That you can make it. Prepare yourself. Get into position for the boom that's coming your way. I know it's antithetical to these present times and to what you see in the news and what you're experiencing in your own reality. I get that. But I came to prophetically declare to you, get into position spiritually, mentally, in your relationships. Get ready for somebody to help you step into your moment. And when it comes, when it shows up, dress like your destiny, not like your history. I pray this word touched you. Spirit of the living God, I thank you for every person that has listened to this word, took the time and set it aside to hear you. My only prayer, my only request is that they did. I wasn't trying to entertain nobody. I was just trying to say what you told me to say. There's an upside to every downturn. Positions are about to change. Things are about to be altered. Folk are looking for individuals who got answers, who got solutions, who have ideas. And my heart is heavy this morning because we've come to the place in our society where we can't even share our ideas with one another without being demonized. We can't even have healthy conversations online, Father. We can't even talk about our values and the things that are diverging from one another's and come to a consensus that we need solutions. So all we want to give is ideologies, but we don't want to give solutions. So how can we move forward if nobody can embrace a solution when all we do is defend our ideologies? God, bring us to the place where we learn how to fight for one another, not with each other. Where we learn that every man is our teacher, even the one that holds a different faith or belief or divergent view from me politically. They're still teaching me something and are part of shaping my history, which informs my destiny. I don't have to demonize you because I don't agree with you. Help us to see the humanity within one another and let humanity become our tribe. Because that's who you died for. You didn't die for no Republican and you didn't die for no Democrat. You died for mankind. You didn't die for a black man or a white man or an Asian man or a Latino man or woman. You didn't die for male or female. You died for us all. The very fact that the hallmark of our faith is the image of you being crucified between two thieves should inform us of the fact that you died for everybody. Let us hold that compassion within our heart, because it was compassion that got Joseph to interpret the dream of two people that was going to forget about him. It was compassion that caused him to help individuals who probably didn't think like him, believe like him, look like him, talk like him. It was compassion that helped him to listen in the first place. Because regardless of what our ideology is, we all relate to hurt. And hurt can only be healed when it's heard. So right now, Father, people are hurting. Folk are filing unemployment. Our government is not stepping up with solutions to help those people. They have no solution for unemployment insurance. They have no solution to help businesses. They have no solution to help institutions. Father, we need people with solutions. People who have endured hard histories but still hold on to their destiny and have matured and grown to the place to say, I can help you even when you don't believe like I believe. I can use my gift for the glory of God, even though you don't share my faith. I'm gonna have compassion on you. Father, raise up some Josephs. Raise up some individuals who can work on the inside and have compassion on the outside. Raise up some people who have wisdom and understanding and knowledge. Raise up some dreamers who still got dreams in their hearts and are not afraid to tell the world, even though they might be persecuted because of their dream, but to hold on to it until it comes to fruition. Father, raise up some folk in this generation. Awaken some dreams, Father God, that were on the back burner that they let go of and they decided to discard. Awaken those dreams because they don't expire. Let them burn in our hearts once again. Let us have the courage to step up and share our ideas and voice our opinions and contribute to society our highest purpose and potential and be of use in this world. Let us not bury what you gave us and put it down in our pits, in our prisons, or even in our comfortable places. Let us use what you gave us. Let us use it for your glory. Let us use it for one another. I pray this prayer with all the sincerity that's in my heart, because there's going to come an upside. There's going to come another shift. The pandemic is going to subside, but where will our souls be when it happens? So I'm pleading for the souls of those who are listening, those who will listen. This is not the time to fight each other. This is the time to fight for one another. And I pray, God, we can have that level of compassion despite what we've gone through in our history, because there are more for us than there are against us. And that's just not a spiritual connotation. We have more in common as human beings than we do in difference. And I pray we can come to see that in this country. I pray we can realize our dreams, both as a nation and as individuals. In Jesus' name, amen. I know all of that was heavy for you, but I pray it still encouraged you. And I got it into the atmosphere because I believe with all of my heart, we got to fight for one another today. I believe we have to listen before we speak. And if you have the courage to put your ideas up on social media or to talk about what you think solutions ought to be, and if they are divergent from somebody else, would you just share your ideas instead of demonizing and tearing down somebody else's views? Just share yours. And then perhaps we could talk about solutions. But it's hard to talk about solutions when all you're doing is defending your idea. This is where we are in our society. We got to do better. And I'm talking to Christians right now. I'm not talking to people who don't share our faith. Christians, we got to do better. And we have to stop questioning one another's Christianity. And since none of us died on the cross and rose on the third day, I don't think we're in the position to do that. But I do think we ought to talk about solutions that can move our country forward, move our churches forward, move our businesses forward, move our lives forward, move our families forward. And we can do it in a healthy way. We can do it without demonizing one another or jumping the gun or having knee-jerk reactions because you believe somebody is coming against your ideology. Maybe somebody was just trying to say, here's a solution. Let's listen before we speak. And let's think highly of one another. Let's do it with compassion. If we can do that, I think we can move forward. I think we can be better. I think our churches will be better. I think we'll remove the borders and the boundaries of who we can talk with and who we can serve. I think we can become whole as the body of Christ. I pray that that can happen, and I pray you take that challenge that I just gave you. So if you're all on social media, if you're trolling people, if you're looking for a fight and a conflict to see who doesn't hold your views, how about just start talking about your solutions and have healthy dialogues and conversations and learn that every man is your teacher, even if they're teaching you something that seems negative. It's still a good lesson. It teaches you what not to do. And so I pray that you can do that. I pray you come to the place of maturity in your faith where you can sit down with people who don't look like you, talk like you, or act like you. Share your values, share your love, embrace them for who they are. Huh? And then be a reflection and a light. Because if we exclude ourselves from the culture, then what good is our salt? What good is our light? We are salt and light in the earth. And if those two things leave and cloister themselves behind our ideological walls, then what good are we? We're not helping nobody. So I pray today you can see yourself as salt and light. Light does not have to announce itself, nor does salt. You know it when you taste it, and you know it when you see it. You don't have to defend who you are. You just have to show up and be who God created you to be. I pray that you take that to heart. And again, I pray that this message touched you. Don't forget, you have an opportunity to help those who are in need. You can do that by volunteering. On August 22nd or August 29th, text HELP to KLC, text HELP KLC to 77222. All right, HELP KLC to 77222. Make sure there are no spaces in HELP KLC. All one word, and when you text it to that number, you should get a prompt, and then you can sign up to volunteer on August 22nd or 29th. If you can't be here with us on one of those days, you can still help. You can give. A gift of $40 will go a long way to feed a family of four, because that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to feed over 1,000 families, and we're going to do well over that on the 22nd and August 29th, but those are our goals, to be able to do that, so we have enough food for thousands of families on each day. And we want to continue to make sure we're a blessing to all of those people who are coming or in need. If you are in need, drive up to one of our events, August 22nd or August 29th. It's posted on our Facebook page at the Kingdom Life Church. You can get directions to both, and you can see where both events are. And if you need help, it's here for you. So you can give, you can serve, or you can come and receive. Whatever you need to do, it's all here available for you. If you want to give that gift of $40, you can text GIVE KLC, make sure there are no spaces, to that same number, to 73256, I'm sorry, I'm coming out of the spirit now, 73256, you can text that and give your offering. You can go online and give on our website. You can download our church app and give there as well. However you do it, however you want to do it as unto the Lord, and somebody's going to be blessed because of your faithful giving. Thank you for being able to do that. If you're in a position to give that $40, we appreciate your gift, and we know God is going to return unto you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May God be gracious unto you, give you peace. May he surround you with his favor like a shield. May his angels encamp themselves round about you. May his precious blood cover you from now until eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. Until next time, God bless you.